Attention, all curious minds, innovators, and trendsetters. It's time to pause, lean in, and get ready for an extraordinary journey as we dive deep into the fascinating realms of life, technology, entertainment, and business. Let's explore, learn, and grow together. Brace yourselves, for the next thrilling episodes of Hit Their Talks is about to take off. Counting down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And here we go.
Hi, everyone. Zoltan here. We're back again this week, and we're back in full speed with FinTech. And I have here today Nikola Tasharov. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Otherwise, you can correct me. He's head of market expansion at Noda. Hi, Nikola. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
All right. So before we dive into the questions, I would like to ask you to say a few words about yourself, about the journey that you have overcome to becoming the head of market expansions at Noda, and maybe say a few words about Noda as well.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my name is Nikola Tasharov. I'm not sure how you pronounced it. I'm the head of market expansion. Now, this basically consists of the sales and account management of the company, as well as further market development, which would include licensing and finding new markets and industries. My background is primarily in sales, but since I've joined Noda, I would say it's more but it also includes account management and legal and licensing regulations.
All right. So in your career, have you had some memorable experiences in the fintech industry?
Yes, of course. The fintech industry is super quick, quickly growing and changing. Yeah. And there have been numerous successes and a few failures, of course, which I would say would define my fintech career so far.
All right. So how has your past experience in sales, as you mentioned, and digital marketing informed your approach to market the expansions at Noda?
Well, if we're talking about sales in digital marketing, there is only one difference, I would say, there is between the two industries, and that's mainly time. Now, in digital marketing, everything is usually done very quickly. So basically, sales are done with a couple of calls and you're done. While in fintech, it really takes months and months in order to actually get to the final line, during which months, of course, there are plenty of opportunities to actually fail. But also, I would say that the relationships built in the fintech industry, whilst building the partnerships, are much stronger than they are in digital marketing.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of time to set them up, and you get to know each other better.
Of course. You have to deal with a lot of issues coming up, and of course, there are a ton of issues coming up. So, while you're actually resolving them, of course, you're building up your partnership.
Yeah, exactly. So what significant changes have you observed in the fintech landscape since you first started in this field, besides of rapidly evolving, of course?
Well, the regulations have gotten tighter, definitely. And of course, competition has grown. But I wouldn't really call it competition, because in fintech, there is something called white labeling. So basically, that would be one company which has the actual product and the actual solution that they actually resell it, but under the different brand name to another company. As we are product provider, so the open banking behind Noda is actually our own development. We are actually the company which gives out the white labels. So I would say that our competitors would be companies that have their own products, and actually they haven't grown so much. Yes, there have been many competitors which have been entering the market via white labels, but not so many with their own products.
All right. So this basically would be one of the facts with which you guys distinguish yourself from this highly competitive fintech space.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So what are some of the innovative strategies that Noda has implemented to stay ahead?
Now, there are many so-called innovative. It really depends on what you define as innovative. I would say that the technology itself. Quite a few companies have the technology itself. What we have done in order to keep ahead of the competitors is adding new complementary products which revolve around the product itself. So with the open banking technology, it's not simply about taking money from point A to point B. In between, you actually can gather a ton of information about the customer that's actually making the transaction, which can be, if used correctly, can be further used in order to analyze the customers of a given business, plan specific CRM strategies, marketing to identify VIP customers, for example, and to further change your offering to them. I would say that's what we're more innovative in. We do have many other pros compared to our competitors, but I wouldn't call them innovative. I would just call them good management.
All right. So you have worked in very diverse industries, and I just want to ask, how do you adapt your approach when expanding into new market sectors, such as like iGaming, finance, or retail?
All right. So it's really, you have to start with identifying the industry you actually want to enter in. So if whether it's iGaming, finance, or retail, it really depends on the specific challenges and the opportunities which actually you're chasing. You really need to make a thorough research to understand the market sector and dynamics and trends and customer preferences. And this will actually help you in identifying potential gaps, competition, and opportunities. Now, gaining a deep understanding of the target customers in the new market sector is crucial. And this can be achieved through qualitative and quantitative researches. And you can use all of those complicated words, but in reality, you really need to understand the market. Now, for example, for iGaming, we have specific products, and for travel, we've actually developed a whole other products. So for example, for iGaming, we have partnered up with digital banks, which allow us to actually open up segregated bank accounts for our customers, which turned out to be a very significant problem in the past. But since actually not found the demand, this was the main tool that we used in order to acquire and to take over that industry. Now, when it comes to travel, I would say that segregated bank accounts, they don't really make much sense because there is no issue with that. Travel have other issues. I would say they have analytical issues. They have issues regarding that they tend to be a bit slower in undertaking innovative solutions. So that would mean, for example, people would tend to go to the travel agent and prefer to actually pay in cash or by a bank transfer. What we do is actually we provide the travel agent with the opportunity to send the customer with a payment link or with a QR code, which they can then use to successfully make the payment, which is, of course, already predefined with the IBAN and with the recipient and with the amount. Making the entire process of sharing IBANs and company names and et cetera, and the amount that you actually have to fill in yourself, pretty much redundant. We have also come up with the technology to split a specific bill. So, for example, I'm not sure, but for example, I have that experience myself in my college years. There will be deals that you can actually see on the market. So, for example, if you are like five people, you get a discount on the bill, but you have to make a single payment. So, in our case, we can actually split that payment. You can so if something costs, €1,000. We take that €1,000 and we split it in, for example, in five parts. And each of the people which are going to be traveling receive a payment link, either via WhatsApp or email or any other method they need. All they need to do is click on the link, their mobile banking pops up, and all they need to do is click confirm, and that's it. So it makes the need for a person who is collecting the money from all the people going to the trip
much easier.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that you would be saying that the iGaming industry is tricky, but it seems that retail and travel is much more trickier because they don't have this need to adjust to technology, and the travelers don't really care about it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I wouldn't say they don't care about it. They haven't seen the need to be too innovative in that space. I've noticed. I mean, like if we're talking about payments in iGaming, there are entire departments where you have people taking care of payments only. And in travel and e-commerce, you don't really have that. I mean, it's usually the operations person or the finance person taking care of that. And it's usually like you deal with that question once and you stop thinking about that. But my question is, why do you stop thinking about that? I mean, like the decision you have taken, for example, 10 years ago, I can guarantee you is not relevant to the current economical situation.
So maybe can you talk about some of the biggest challenges in the market expansion for fintech companies such as Noda you guys face, and maybe how does the company plan to overcome these barriers?
Now, as I initially mentioned, fintech is regulated. So you can't simply process payments, and you can't simply attain personal information of the people actually which are initiating the payments. So I would say that one of the main tackles that a fintech company has to face these days is regulation. Now, I'm quite happy that regulations are so strict and tight these days, because it keeps out all of the companies which are
not ready to be compliant.
Exactly, which at the end of the day is a great risk for the entire economy as well as on a personal basis. So yes, I completely agree that fintech has to be regulated, and it has to be heavily regulated. Now, the difficult thing about that is that sometimes regulators are not too sure what exactly they want to regulate. So they bring in new rules and new laws and new legislations, and the end goal is not exactly clear. When you see what they're actually trying to achieve, it makes no sense with the regulations they're trying to implement. But anyhow, I mean that's just part of the business. And so far, we've been quite successful in tackling this. We are licensed under one of the toughest regulators, I would say, in the world. That would be the FCA. That's the UK regulator, and we're currently getting licensed in. And we also got licensed in Canada, and we're currently getting licensed in numerous other countries across Europe and Australia as well. So, I would say that we have tackled that very much. The other main difficulty for the fintech companies these days would be the growing competition. Now, since the economies have been growing worldwide at a great scale, even though COVID and war and economical difficulties, still the economies have been growing, and the money flowing in the economy has been increasing for a while now, which of course makes the interest for fintech companies to enter the markets even higher. Now, as I initially mentioned, though, the competitors have been increasing mostly on the white label companies rather than on the actual solution providers. In order to be able to create this solution itself, significant resources are needed both in both financially speaking and I would say mainly in human resource speaking. So you might have a bunch of cash stored somewhere and you're like, okay, I'm going to make a fintech company. Unless you have the people to back it up, you can't really do that.
All right. So how has Noda leveraged the open banking solution for online merchants, and what impact has it had on e-commerce business growth and maybe evolution of the e-commerce business?
Right. So, well, Noda has leveraged open banking solutions to provide online merchants in Europe with a secure and instant one-stop payment solution that allows them to receive direct bank payments from customers. Now, this has a significant impact on the growth and evolution of businesses in the following ways: by making transactions more secure. Now, open banking solutions provide a more secure payment option for businesses. It has created a secure payment solution that eliminates the customers needing actually to share their credit card or debit card details with the merchants. This has proven to be a significant fraud risk over the years. So there are countries which have actually tackled that more. There are countries which have not been so successful in tackling that, but either way, it's a significant fraud risk. Open banking has also been significantly more cost-effective than other traditional or actually not so traditional payment methods. So, for example, compared to card payments and to e-wallets, we are literally many times cheaper than the other methods. I would say that usually when I'm trying to explain to customers, to merchants, I would say, that don't really know what open banking is, what I say is it's an evolved bank transfer, because in its essence, this is exactly what it is. You don't have an intermediary who is creating and issuing cards, for example, which then have to be sent over to the bank, and then you have to collect them from the other acquirers, acquirers, which then resell it to the merchants. We are literally right in between the banks and the merchants, of course, reducing costs significantly. The same thing goes with all of the digital wallets and all of the so-called pays. So I'm not going to go into directly into advertising of those methods, but either way, everybody understands what I mean. So in any moment that you actually have an intermediary between the bank and the merchant, if you add somebody in between, of course, costs are going to increase.
Exactly.
So open banking, what it essentially means is that we are communicating directly with the bank and communicating directly with the merchant, giving the opportunity to the end clients to make a direct transfer. That's it.
All right. So let's also talk about the responsible and ethical financial practices. How are you positioned in this matter?
Now, this has been a very slippery topic a few years ago, especially in our industry. However, as I mentioned, regulations have gotten much tighter. So all of those companies which were not that much compliant or weren't compliant at all, I would say that they are not a factor anymore in our not in our industry. As well as we have embraced AI in our entire company culture. So we use AI in literally all of our departments. We have seen the tremendous effect it has on our productivity and quality. We have also implemented AI in our monitoring of unethical and fraudulent financial activities, which might go through our channels.
All right. So maybe can you share some key takeaways from your speaking engagements about payments and digital marketing strategy? I know that you've been doing some public speaking about such things.
Yeah, well, regarding public speaking engagements about payments, several takeaways exist. So to make sure about, you have to make sure that you focus on the big idea. Now, the people who actually come and spend, for example, 30 minutes or 40 minutes to actually listen to you, their time matters. I mean, so their time is valuable, so that in order that they actually spend the time to actually come or put on their phone and listen to, for example, i.e. the presentation or the podcast in this case, this means that they actually value what the information they're going to receive higher than the time they're going to spend on listening to it. So it's generally speaking, it's quite simple. Now, it's really important to actually identify what the audience is going to attend, is interested in. So for example, for the iGaming industry, when I'm talking about payments, the people attending the presentation or the keynote are interested in specific issues for that industry, which they're trying to currently tackle. For travel, it would be completely different. So for travel, they wouldn't need the payment person to be talking about resolving issues relating to iGaming. They will need for their issues. So for example, like with not a share or not a go. And for e-commerce, it would be everything different again.
Thing,
so
yeah.
Exactly. So I would say that the very main thing about public speaking is actually that the goal of public speaking is not public speaking itself. The goal of public speaking is actually providing value to the people who actually decide to invest their time in listening to what you've got to say.
All right. So maybe can you shed some light on how Noda plans to grow and evolve in the coming years, and maybe what are some of the key goals you guys are targeting?
Yes, definitely. So there are many ways in which we are currently, we don't really plan to grow. I mean, we're growing. So I'm not really a fan of saying, you know, like I'm going to. No, I'm doing that. So it's we are currently, we just got licensed in Canada. So we are entering that market. We're currently being licensed in Brazil, and we're also in end stages of purchasing a banking license in Europe, but I'm not gonna disclose which company this is exactly, but it's going to be a big thing in the coming months. We're also setting our sights on the Eastern European bloc because we've seen that there is great potential there, simply because of the culture of actually managing money. So yes, I would say GDP is significantly lower than in the Western countries. However, open banking might be best suited to more Eastern-based countries, and since there's also little to no competition in those countries, we've decided to actually invest in those regions significantly to be one of the first to actually enter and to take over the market.
All right. So maybe as a final question, I would like to ask you to give an advice to the listeners. So maybe you could give those an advice for those who aspire to make a career in the fintech industry. What advice would you give them? And what roles related to the market expansion and development are you much focusing on more?
Well, I'll start with the first part of your question. Now, fintech is difficult, right? So it's not an easy industry. I mean, like there are many variables which affect that industry. So you've got regulations, you've got legislations, you've got compliance, you've got the different economic situations which are actually affecting each of the regions. It's definitely not easy, but I've noticed I'm speaking from personal experience, if you love what you're doing, so basically if you're interested in that industry, it's not that difficult. Now, my experience has shown me that we've hired colleagues which are great, you know, so basically they've got the great background, everything is perfect about them. However, they have found it super difficult to actually understand how things work in the industry. This does not necessarily mean that they're less, for example, qualified than the successful.
Not good professionals. They are exactly great professionals, exactly, but they are not adapted to the fintech.
Exactly, and it's quite evident that they do not really enjoy it, and of course the results are not there really. There, I mean, at the end of the day, there are no results. So I would say that if you aspire to be growing into fintech, first, you really have to feel that this is the place for you. I mean, like it has to really, you have to really be interested in how actually things work, how money move, where do they go, where do they come from. You really have to be interested in that. If you are, then I would say it's pretty standard for each other industry, because I've noticed it's the same thing for advertising, for example. So you really got to start networking super early. You've got to develop the relevant skills which are necessary for success in that industry. You absolutely must stay up to date with industry trends. You can't lag behind. So if there are new regulations, you need to be one of the first people to actually know about those. You can't find out from a competitor, for example. That would be catastrophical. And of course, you need some industry-specific expertise, but I've noticed that usually this comes over time. So there isn't really a book or a university course which is up to date to the actual day-to-day changes in a specific industry. So you really need to read a lot and be keen enough to actually be up to date with a specific industry. And success will come. I mean, it will definitely come.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Nicola, for your time, Dan. And if you would like to say some parting words, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
All right. So thank you, Nicola. And thank you for our listeners, viewers, and we will be back next week. Make sure to subscribe to our channels and give some feedback about our new intro and outro. So thank you so much.
And that's a wrap for this section of Hitler Talks. Thank you for being a part of our journey today. Don't forget to tune in next week for more insights and discussions. Stay connected with us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and more. Until then, keep exploring and keep growing. We'll see you next time.